Hey, when was the last time you drove through a KFC and were held up by a man and his horse?
A man and his what?
His horse.
Don't know.
We're going to be talking about that shortly.
All right. And speaking of food, you can thank me later, but I'm going to tell you how you can get a free pizza this week. You're welcome.
Now you've got my attention. All that and a whole lot more on The Source with Cindy and Daz.
The weird and wacky week that was. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
Daz and The Source, thanks to our very special friends, Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
Now, I'm hungry now.
I'm always hungry.
You mentioned food a little earlier on. Now you're talking about Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
I'm going to talk about food a lot this episode.
Now, before we go on to our stories, which are the weird and wacky stuff that we find through the week, I need to make an apology on your behalf.
Oh,
there was somebody's birthday last week, which meant we put The Source on hold. There were some other priorities. Someone made herself a priority.
Maybe.
And so our little dear little podcast got put to bed early.
Hashtag ISO birthday. It was fun.
It was a good day.
Oh, well, we had cheese and wine, didn't we?
I don't know. We had many things, I think. We just didn't have a podcast.
Yeah, right.
But we're back on track now, listeners. Great to have you join us again.
I'm a big fan of cheese and wine. Have you ever had them together?
I thought you were going to say, had I ever noticed that you're a big fan of cheese and wine. I think most people who know you're a major fan.
Normally you see them on a plate together. Like you'll have your glass of wine and you'll have your cheese, and people have had cheese and wine evenings in the past. And you'll normally get some very interesting looks if you were to dip your cheese inside your wine glass.
Are cheese and wine evenings for snobs?
I think historically back in the day they were.
Do you know the only thing that really changes that? If you had a wine and cheese evening and you put Cabana with it, all of a sudden you're a back-ass bogan from Australia.
All I feel like you need then is a plastic table and chairs and a Hills hoist back. Is that what it was called, a Hills hoist?
Yeah, no more snobbery then.
Yeah, right. Proving that real wine and cheese sessions only need one ingredient rather than two. An Italian man in northern Italy is the ultimate indulgent optimizer. This guy's a genius, if you ask me.
Well, we'll see.
Literally translated as drunken cheese. That could be my nickname.
Amongst many.
The dish boasts boozed soak curds saturated with local red wine and crushed grapes. All you need to bring is your bickies, your Savoys.
And your Hills hoist.
Your plastic tablecloth on your plastic, and you throw some Coke bottles on your edges.
Bongs. Now, if you're listening overseas, that's not the type of thong you're thinking of.
No.
Flip-flops, I think you call them over in the States. Very good friends over there.
That's right. Now, this guy says that although red wines are probably the most popular for this very interesting combination, you can always use white wine as well to infuse your cheese with a fruity flavour.
Nothing like an infused cheese.
I just feel like you need a cask of wine now as well. It's just getting all out of hand upstairs in my head.
I'm going to jump off topic. Kind of on topic, but just off your story for a second. Because last night we're in ISO here in Melbourne, we decided to have like a little impromptu platter. So I went down to the supermarket and just bought a little pack of four cheeses. Now that was, for people who don't know Cindy, that was really dangerous and risque for me to just come back with four cheeses that I had no idea what was in there. Now what was the verdict on that?
Oh, look, it was okay. I'm going to say, honestly, it was really good because I didn't want to go to the shops and you came back with cheese.
Correct.
So I will not complain.
Right answer.
At all.
Move on.
Absolutely. Here's a little bit of history for you. During the First World War, Austrian troops invaded northern Italy and began ransacking local homes on the hunt for supplies.
Oh, they would have been very hungry.
They would have been starving. In a bid to save their stock, several cheesemakers tried to conceal their cheeses in handy wine barrels. Can you imagine them running around throwing all the cheese?
Come on, hand over your cheese.
Was Sylvester Stallone there?
Wow. That would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sylvester Stallone, as far as I know, wasn't from Austria. Sorry, Sylvester, if you're listening. And good morning, good evening, good afternoon to Arnold.
Oh, wow. We can't press stop, can we?
Sylvester Stallone.
When the... Oh, boy. Why do I feel like that's going to become a grab and it's going to end up on socials?
I think it may well.
When the Austrians eventually left, hey, I'm no history buff or movie buff, just putting it out there.
I think you should just get back on track
here. When the Austrians eventually left, the locals were left with an unusual and delicious new delicacy that they've been producing ever since, and it's not advertised by Sylvester Stallone. Although drunken cheese remains something of a regional delicacy, there is a growing international market for it. Several cheese experts currently ship to the UK from Italy, so you can easily sit down to the winiest cheese board you've ever eaten or heard, maybe if I'm there.
The Source is the Drunken Podcast hosted by Cindy Warren.
It'll certainly make
Sylvester Stallone.
Moving on, it's going to make your dinner very, very fun. I'm just saying that.
Hey, remember the days we could get out and travel?
Oh,
the good old days.
Yep.
Like, I just miss that airplane food and that lovely service you get on the planes.
I'm not going to lie to you. Anyone that wants to serve me food on an aeroplane, I'm in, like, because it means I'm going somewhere.
Oh, I know. Have you been to Vegas?
Yeah.
We've both been to Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't mind Vegas. I think it's somewhere that you just need to go, like Hollywood. You just need to go there once. If you never go again, you say, I've been there. I've ticked that one off the list.
I'm not a fan of Vegas, just for the record.
Oh, so apologies to all our Vegas listeners.
Sorry.
There's a new resort and casino heading to Vegas.
Oh, maybe I am now.
But you might need to leave the kids at home.
Okay. Oh.
Quite happy to leave our kids at home. Not our kids.
We don't have kids.
But we have kids. We've got four kids between us and two grandkids.
Between us.
Between us.
Yeah, they seem to be yours. I have one child. No grandchildren, just for the record.
Oh, dear. Circa Resort. Interesting. How could you not be aware of children out there?
Oh, I don't know. No, I meant grandchildren that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, that would be a little bit different.
Ouch.
Circa Resort and Casino plans to be the first ever adults-only 21-plus casino resort in Las Vegas history. Not only will it provide incredible luxury amenities, it also plays homage to Las Vegas history with its vintage glamour style and old-school hospitality.
Okay.
According to a statement from the resort. Now, as a special tribute, the resort will be home to Vegas Vicky, one of the most iconic neon signs from the Strip in their own lobby.
Okay.
I'm getting a feel for the place already.
Yeah.
The resort itself will house 777 rooms.
777.
I wonder how they come up with 777. It must just be the layout.
Might be.
Very uniquely tapered, 71-degree tower designed by Steelman Partners and Circus Director of Design and Architecture, Alice O'Keefe. Now, each room is decked out in minimal but still vintage Vegas aesthetic with plenty of room options, including standard rooms, bunk bedrooms and gigantic suites, some with their own dining tables and in-room wet bars.
Yeah, that's me.
What's a wet bar?
It's like, so you've got your kitchen and then you've got a separate section for the bar.
Right.
Yes.
Why go to the kitchen then?
I used to have a wet bar in the bar in my last house.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Talking about snobs. While guests are certainly comfortable in their rooms, the real perks can be found throughout the resort. Not only will guests be able to play to their heart's desire in the resort's two-story casino, Circa will be home to the world's largest sports book, a place where people can wager on sports competitions, a three-story stadium and a 78 million pixel high-definition screen that can be seen on multiple floors of the casino. So you can look out, sit out in your balcony with a glass of wine and with your cheese dipped in it.
Okay.
And look at this 78 million pixel high-definition TV.
I'm sorry, I said I don't like you, Vegas. I want to come back.
I want to go there. Plus, Circa Resort and Casino will house a truly unique pool amphitheatre called Stadium Swim. All year long, guests will be able to catch the biggest names and games and major televised events broadcast on the 14 million pixel screen while relaxing in Circa's six temperature-controlled pools and two spas.
Oh.
Not at the same time.
Okay.
One at a time.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Poolside, guests can relax in their choice of cabanas. Speaking about...
Oh, cabana.
Cabanas.
Different cabana.
Yeah, and super cabanas, hosting up to 25 guests, chase lounges, day beds or poolside boxes available for rent. Good old days when you can actually just mingle with people.
Oh.
Originally, the resort was planned to open in December this year, but the company has recently announced it will be opening its first five floors and parking garage to guests as soon as October 28th this year.
Wow.
Bookings are now open, though it's very important to note that all guests must be over 21 to stay at this exclusive resort. For more information, you can visit the Circa Resort and Casino website.
I feel like we're being sponsored by them and we've got some free rooms coming up, but it's not to be, is it?
How good would that be, though? The Source. Brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino.
I just heard cabana.
Yeah, or super cabanas. Super cabanas.
It's thicker than your usual stick.
If you're, Wow. Be very, very careful. This is an adults only version of The Sauce with Cindy and Daz. Thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Stick around. We've got a whole heap more to get through.
Hi, it's Phil Collins for RAD, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. If you drink, then drive, you're risking your life and the lives of all Australians who are on the road. So when you plan a drink, always plan ahead. Arrange for someone who won't drink to be the designated driver or plan to stay the night somewhere close. You'll make the road a safer place for all of us.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz.
Remember that episode, way back in the single numbers that we did? Where you came back from the break and you were going, pizza, pizza. Do you remember that?
Better than that, but I do remember that.
Yeah, right. Okay, completely different asking topic. What was your first ever job?
My first ever job wasn't pizza. I worked at a boat selling business.
Of course you did.
I did. I didn't have to sell. I just washed the boats, cleaned the boats, delivered them, and got trailers registered, and that was my first ever job.
Hey, that's kind of cool. I just learned that. I did not know that.
You never asked.
Ask me what my first ever job was.
Oh boy, what was your first job? Pizza place.
I worked at Pizza Hut. It was my first ever job. So when I came across this story this week, it jumped out at me because all the memories came flooding back. You want to say something?
I do want to say that are there many more iconic buildings than the old traditional Pizza Hut building? They were so recognisable.
I remember the one in Ferntree Gully. That's going to keep it really local.
Well, for people over in the United States that have no idea what you're talking about.
The eastern side of Melbourne.
Right.
Right on the Dandenong Ranges border. And the Pizza Hut was, the parking was underneath and you'd walk up a whole bunch of stairs to get to the top.
Look at the grin on your face now.
Oh, it was the biggest treat ever when my parents would take my sister and I to Pizza Hut on a Saturday night, and it was probably once every couple of months or so, but geez, it was a treat.
Did Pizza Hut, just jog my memory, did Pizza Hut allow you to just, you spend a certain amount of money, you could keep going back and getting slices?
They did at one point, which was great.
So I might just have a slice of Hawaiian now, sir, yes. Senor.
Yeah, but I think you'd just go get it yourself. It was almost like Sizzler.
Love Sizzler.
Sizzler's the best. Sizzler's Remember their coloured bread? Yeah.
I think they're done too.
I just want to say this to you. 10,000 pizzas for each decade of Pizza Hut in Australia are being given away for free.
How many decades?
50,000 pizzas.
Five decades.
2020 we're in now.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many is that?
Well, they've got 50,000, 10,000 for each decade. There's five decades. So they've been going for 50 years in Australia.
Good
well done, Pizza
you.
Hut.
You're actually right because it says it's their 50th anniversary.
Good
well done,
job,
you.
PH or H.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it just so vividly. Pizza Hut is celebrating their 50th birthday and they're giving us the presents. How cool is this?
Good job.
So to get your hands on your free pizza, you've just got to visit the Pizza Hut website every day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. from August 3 to August 7.
So that our time would be tomorrow.
Correct. August 3 to August 7, between 4 and 6, Pizza Hut will be releasing 10,000 free food coupons for hungry fans to claim.
I'm in.
Listen up. It's just so easy. And then you can change your coupon for a free pizza anytime before the 31st of August. Okay, so you just got to jump online between those times and grab your voucher, and then you can go in before August 31.
What happens if we can't go in?
Well,
we're in lockdown at the moment.
I reckon we're going to be in a bigger lockdown as of the next few days.
They've got maybe still got drive through, so you can hand your coupon in at the drive through.
I don't think Pizza Hut have drive-thru.
Then we're in trouble, aren't we?
Massive trouble. I don't know what they're thinking. One pizza per person, which is, that's so mean, Pizza Hut, because I wanted all 50,000 of them. One pizza per person that you can order for pickup, which is fair enough. And you can order from their smaller range from the free pizzas. Okay, so here we go. You can have a Super Supreme, which is nice, a barbecue meat lovers, a cheese lovers, a pepperoni lovers, or a controversial Hawaiian.
Why is it controversial? Because people don't like pineapple. What is wrong with you? Pineapple goes on a Hawaiian pizza.
Okay, my question to you has just been answered and I couldn't agree more.
You know that.
Pineapple goes on any pizza.
It does. Well, not on a pepperoni.
Yeah, you could do that because it just becomes
a seafood one, maybe.
But really,
on a supreme or a Hawaiian. Absolutely. Mm. What's the point in having a Hawaiian pizza without any pineapple on it?
Barbecue meat lovers, what do we add? Pineapple
on it and plenty of barbecue sauce.
Cheese. Mm. Oh, it's so good.
Old days.
A spokesman for Pizza Hut said, "I think for many, this announcement is guaranteed to bring back fond memories." Here we go. Of coming together for all-you-can-eat pizza slices. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the salad and dessert bars, birthday parties and first dates? It's all been done through the love of pizza.
Salad bars. Good try.
I know, right?
Good try, Pizza Hut.
As well as handing out hot, cheesy pizzas each day for over the five-day period, Pizza Hut will also dedicate their social media to a specific decade of Pizza Hut history. So I reckon we'll see some of those pictures of the old Pizza Huts with the funny-looking roofs.
I love it.
That will be all over there.
So on this week.
So stay tuned to their official website to claim your free pizza, and then you can reminisce about Dougie the pizza boy. Do you remember him on the ads?
Dougie was great.
Wasn't he fantastic?
Wasn't overseas that I think he is very Australian.
I think Dougie. He was very Aussie. I just will say that when I got my first job at Pizza Hut, I worked in the takeaway Pizza Hut. So I would answer the phones and take the orders because as a 15-year-old young girl, my handwriting was extremely neat, and this is before computers. So I would answer the phones and take the pizza orders and write them down very, very clearly for the drivers that would deliver the pizzas. And when I turned 18, they thought that it would be really clever to move me to the restaurant because I'd been there for 3 years. I pretty much knew how things worked.
You ran the place by then.
Yeah, I did.
Not surprised.
So they moved me to the restaurant because I was over 18 and that way I was able to serve alcohol. So they thought they'd be able to, you know, use my skills a little bit further. And I remember doing my first ever shift inside the Pizza Hut restaurant, which was so different because people everywhere. I don't want to work with people. I was on the phones.
You don't.
And I remember this little kid going to the ice cream machine because, you know, the all-you-can-eat and the dessert bar, you know, you'd lift that lever, you'd push the lever down and the ice cream soft serve would just come out.
Yep.
I remember a little kid, I saw it. He pushed the lever down and walked off. It was just ice cream.
Left it there.
Everywhere. And I might have dropped a glass of red wine as well. So I remember going back to my managers and saying, if you don't move me back to the takeaway, I'm quitting. And then the next week I was back at the takeaway.
Of course you were.
That's my Pizza Hut
journey.
You're
at the board, in the boardroom then as CEO of Pizza Hut.
If you want a free pizza, hit up Pizza Hut on their website and you can have a freebie. You're welcome.
We're also not sponsored by Pizza Hut.
No.
But quite open to it.
Very.
Now, talking about food, very much of a food theme today on The Source. Anyone who's ever taken a test has had has a bit of a nightmare about something going wrong. You know, any time you've got to take a test the next day or you've got to go to one of those stupid work tests to see how compatible you are potentially and they give you the stupid psycho tests and that's just ridiculous. Anyway, it makes you feel a little bit sort of uneasy and you're worried about things going wrong. Usually these fears turn out to be completely unfounded.
Okay.
Wise person once told you that, didn't they?
Mm.
The stress leading up to an actual event is always far more worse than the event itself.
Unless you actually announce Sylvester Stallone's name instead of
we'll be hearing that over and over again.
Arnie, yeah.
Every so often, however, a story emerges that reminds everyone that while the chances of total disaster are low, they are never an absolute zero, especially if you're carrying a meatball sub.
Pardon?
This lesson was learned the hard way by University of Georgia economics junior Sam Lee, female Sam, Samantha Lee, who accidentally logged herself out of a vital end-of-year test when a meatball fell out of her sandwich, hitting her keyboard and failing her.
Oh.
Ba-bom. The stunned student was so amazed by the situation that she quickly posted a picture to Snapchat, as you do. Yeah. Is Snapchat even still about?
Yeah, it is.
God, I thought that was a fad.
Old people like you and I don't use it anymore.
Now, by doing that, the picture actually revealed her stunned reaction and the remnants of her sandwich. Though she was initially more concerned about the state of her laptop and dinner, panic set in when she realised that she could no longer access the test. Logged her out. Good done, Sam.
Meatball, well done.
Well done, meatball.
Yeah.
6 hours after trying and failing to log back in and complete the assignment, Lee plucked up the courage to confront her tutor.
Okay.
Tutor.
Yeah.
Perhaps surprisingly, Professor Lastraps, now that's a name for
are
a
you
professor.
Really, are you being
Professor
serious?
Lastraps.
Okay.
Was incredibly sympathetic to Lee's plight. In a jovial response, he replied, "Samantha, Well, this is certainly a new and unusual excuse for a low score, but for that reason, it seems unlikely you've made this up. I've extended your deadline for the Module 6 test until midnight tonight. I would recommend you take the test either before or after dinner. Well done, Professor Lastraps. Sam Lee. Now, it makes you wonder, did Sam really have a meatball that dropped onto her laptop and logged her out? Now, that would seem really far-fetched for the meatball would drop from your sandwich and hit the log out key of anything.
I think that it is stupid enough to be real.
University of Georgia.
Couldn't make that up. And now, look, it's made news in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne.
It's just a future generation right there. I'll tell you what, no more dogs eating the homework. Oh, we're just going to go now with the meatball sub. This is going to drop out and log you out and just... It's one of the meatball didn't message Professor Lastraps itself and just go all in with that. Well done to Sam to get out of that one anyway.
Oh, that's good.
We've got a bit more to get through. Another couple of stories. Cindy and Daz, The Source, thanks to Byron Bay, Peanut Butter. Stick around.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Hello?
Yes, police, fire or ambulance.
It's my friend.
I love you, please. Okay, look, I need you to stay on the phone. Just stay on the phone. Okay, now hang on. Oh.
Triple Zero's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. So please, stay on the line and you'll get help faster.
The Source with Cindy and Daz, all the weird and wacky stuff you might have missed this week.
When was the last time that you bought a lotto ticket?
Well, we bought one a couple of weeks ago when the Powerball was a massive $80 million and was one number off Division 2 or 3 or something, which would have scored us a little bit of money. But so it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I get a little bit cross with lotto when I don't win, so then I just don't buy another ticket.
Noticed.
So dumb. Should buy a ticket.
You need to be in it to win it.
Yeah, but have you ever thought that you've actually won, but then your numbers don't quite match up? Because this is where I get a little bit cross with it. I don't know. But imagine if they did match up and you thought that the $126 million jackpot was all yours, only to realise you'd entered the wrong competition.
Uh-oh. So someone, you're saying, just so I got my head around this, someone has got the winning numbers.
Yep.
Got very excitable for their 126 mil or their share of, and they're not in that actual draw. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Uh-oh. And that happened to a lady from the Northern Territory who claimed to have won the Powerball jackpot back in January. Her winnings didn't come through from Lottoland, so she made a claim to the Northern Territory Racing Commission to say that no one's contacted me about my winnings. Mm-hmm. The woman, only known as Ms. B, claimed that she had been tricked by Lottoland, as the branding of the draw she entered was similar to the Powerball draw.
Not exactly the same though, no. Ms. B.
During the proceedings, Lottoland also revealed that Ms. B's selected the winning numbers. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do my best Powerball numbers.
Okay.
4, 11, 18, 20, 22, 26, 33, and the Powerball number, 9.
I've got to say that was very well done.
Thank you.
However, that's a very fast draw.
Yeah, I know. Well,
those
we haven't
balls
got all
are
day.
Dropping. Well, maybe we wouldn't go there either. Going through puberty, I guess.
Ms. B says that unaware that the winning numbers for the Powerball had already been drawn prior to the time that she submitted her bet on the Lottoland's website. Okay.
All right. So she may have even got the numbers and then put it right.
Ms. B. Good on you, Ms. B.
Oh.
She complained that Lottoland is illegally using trademarks of the Australian lotteries, and further that these Australian lotteries such as Powerball and Oz Lotto were still being advertised on the bookmaker's website.
Right.
So she's got a lot to say. I think
she's 126 mil down at the moment, so I'd have a lot to say too.
Yeah. But the decision that was made by the commission found that Lottoland hadn't done anything wrong and there was ample information available to Ms. B to make an informed decision to make a bet on Lottoland's website. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
As a result, the commission is satisfied that the complaint has been received and that there are a correct amount of money is payable to her by Lottoland On the winning lawful bet, the decision concluded. So she's been paid what she actually won.
Okay.
The ruling handed down by the commission found that Ms. B had in fact entered an entirely different lotto competition, and after mistakenly thinking that she had won $126 million, she walked away with her winnings of $15.
$15 is nothing to sneeze at. It's close to $126 million.
In the Northern Territory.
Only in the Northern T.
That'd keep your air conditioning going for about half an hour up there, wouldn't it?
Ms. B. Sounds like she tried to pull one over the lotto guys.
I think
they're not easily fooled.
These guys know what they're doing.
I think they might come across that quite often, you'd think.
Mm.
I'm sticking to the food theme
today. Good.
All about KFC, because we love KFC. They also don't sponsor the show, but of course we're open to the Colonel getting involved.
I'm not going to lie,
Cindy, Daz and the Colonel.
Drive through KFC very quickly after I've left here.
Oh, really?
No.
For a brekkie?
They don't do breakfast.
They do brekkie rolls.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
Do they? Do they really?
They do.
They don't open till like 10:30.
No, they're open. Well, it's 10 now here in Australia.
Yeah, right.
We're doing this. Like, okay. You won't hear it till another time when you get to hear the podcast. But a traveller says he was left humiliated by after KFC refused to serve him at a drive-thru while he was riding a horse and cart. Ian Bell, that's the name of the – because I know where you're going to go with this. That's the name of the actual driver. It's not the name of the horse.
Right.
55-year-old.
Right.
You know, he's in that prime time of his life.
Ian Bell, the driver.
Ian Bell, the driver at 55. Made it as far as the kiosk window last week only for a manager, not by the name of Karen, because Karen would report to the manager,
of course,
to come out and say he would have to leave for the health and safety of other customers.
But why? He's in a vehicle.
He's got his friendly horse with him.
Vehicle in rabbit ears.
What was the face you just screwed up when you did those rabbit ears? Wow.
He's got wheels in it.
Very aggressive. He says he doesn't understand. Is his horse John John?
John John.
So just so we're clear on this.
Yeah.
John John is the name of the
horse.
Ian Bell is the name of the
driver.
You got it. Okay, yes. You're with me on this one.
Okay.
John John was feeling as good as gold.
Was he?
Adding, horse and carts were around long before motor cars.
Yeah.
Photos show Ian and John John, a 7-year-old Irish cob, hitched up outside a KFC restaurant in Carlisle in Cumbria.
He was probably hungry.
Now, again, we did chat about this on our radio show, that he did make a point. Horse and carts were around long before motor cars, and that's a great point, Ian.
Yep.
No arguments there from us.
None.
However, KFCs weren't.
Yeah, right.
So there's no drive-throughs to go through, Ian.
Where would you drive your horse and cart through to get food?
Just down the dirt track, down to the local grocery store.
Right.
That's all you do. Or you do what our fathers used to do. They used to walk 50 miles just to get a block of ice to bring it back and put it in their dad's drink.
Yep.
Sort of stuff. Ian said, I had queued up behind some cars and was about to order a bargain bucket. Now, that sounds enticing.
Doesn't
when all of a sudden, this manager came out and said, you're not allowed here.
Oh.
You're not coming through, sir. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'd done nothing wrong. John John was behaving himself. He was quiet as a lamb. He's a very well-behaved horse. That's quiet as a lamb.
That's really interesting.
He's got the name of John John.
Yeah. John John. Are you waiting for me to do something?
Driven by...
Ian.
Yeah, I was waiting. Ian Bell.
Ian John John.
Ian Bell. That may well be for the grabs as well.
I don't understand what's going on.
The fast food franchise has spoken out in defence of the manager's decision to deny Ian and John John service, insisting the safety of guests is really important. It's not just important. It's really important.
Really?
That's been in inverted commas. Not
really.
With the face that you made before, but just really important. Oh dear. A KFC spokesman said, hold your horses, Carlisle.
He only had one though.
We're not
he?
Looking to stir up trouble. Stir up trouble. We're not looking to stir up trouble. That's how they've written it.
Well.
And we're sorry for Ian and John John's experience, but the safety of our guests is really important, so we can't allow horse-drawn vehicles in our drive-thrus. I've got some comments to make on this. I've got an opinion on this, but let me just finish this first.
Yeah,
John
right.
said he hasn't tried taking the horse. Now, it says John. It's actually Ian.
Ian
said he hasn't tried taking the horse and cart through any other drive-thrus, but added that he's keen to see if Burger King will let him come through.
Oh, interesting.
I tell you what, Pizza Hut would let him come through.
Well, they don't have a drive-thru.
Pizza Hut are giving away free pizzas.
Yeah, but I don't think they've...
I have a bit of an issue that I don't see how Ian, in his horse and car with dear old John John, has been as quiet as a lamb, would be any different than a car going through. What would be the difference? Well, it's just a horse and cart.
It's almost like a convertible car going through. It's just got no roof.
It's got plenty of horsepower.
You just made that
I
up,
I just
right?
did that one then. That's pretty cool.
All right, that was good.
Now, what would you do? Now, I know you well enough. The very first thing you would do, if you pulled through to a KFC driver and there was a horse and cart in front of you, what would be the very first thing you would do?
Get my phone out.
Your phone's coming
video,
out.
Video, Instagram.
Are you complaining to Karen who's going to go to the manager or he's going to say, I'm videoing this shit
I'm
right now.
Video this shit
this
right now.
This is going viral.
Yep. Yep, yep,
what's
yep.
your name? My name's Ian. This is John, the quiet as a lamb. And I'm just going to film you. That's exactly what you would do.
I have a funny feeling that Ian and John have been filmed many times before. I have a funny
How
feeling.
How funny is that?
If they're taking themselves out on a little excursion down the road to go to KFC in 2020.
It was last week. It was 2020.
They're going to be filmed on many occasion. Mm-hmm. But... What about if John needs to go to the toilet? Like there could be, messy.
Well, that's not dangerous for the guests though. They're saying, there could be an issue with droppings. They're saying it's health and safety of our customers. They're all inside anyway. So what difference does it matter? It's just entertainment for the KFC guests.
I think they're just making. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, we found that Pizza Hut are willing to work with their guests.
And Ian is hungry.
Ian was hungry, and John was probably hungry as well. Hey, it's been fun. Uh-oh, Snorty's at it again. We've got to be off shortly. This is only a half-hour podcast. This is the non-birthday edition of Cindy and Daz and the Sauce. Weird and wacky stuff that we come across every week. Thanks, of course, to our very good friends of Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
You said.
Are we able to come back next week? You're going to be composed to come back next week?
I don't know. We'll see how we go, how much cheese and wine I can consume between now and then.
No matter where you are around the world, stay safe, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Sauce with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. For more episodes, head to extrabutter.com.au.